Secondly, could I extend to you all a most sincere welcome. It's nice to see so many of you have come along this evening to join us in this remembrance service for those old friends of the Mariners Choir who have passed on, and some of them were, of course, founding members whom we remember with very great affection. Now, we will all have our own fond memories of the different members we are here to remember tonight. I know that I personally have my own memories, particularly of those who I was closely associated with during my time in the Alphan Steam Packet Company and as Harbourmaster in Douglas. Now, it is not my intention to individualise, because there are those taking part this evening who will be able to remember the individuals better than I can. Now, above all things, we must remember that although this service of thanksgiving and remembrance must surely be tinged with some sadness, the last thing any of our late friends would want is a service of mourning. They would all want us to sing the hymns they loved with the usual gusto associated with the Mariners' services. So let us remember our late friends and colleagues in a happy way rather than with sadness, and give grateful thanks for their lives amongst us, which were a great example to us all. Now, turning to the order of service, we have the Reverend Ed Callister for the prayers. We have Captain Harry Kinley, who is going to say a few words. He sailed with them, and they were all great friends of his. Also, we have Captain John Kenyon here this evening. He's going to read the first lesson. And then we are going to have a duet with Mr. Corkish and Mr. Cowley. I'm sure that will be worth waiting for. The Reverend Eddie Cotton, who was the resident preacher, I think that's correct, when this Mariner services started some years ago, he will be giving the thanksgiving. Mr. Teddy Corran will also be reading one of the lessons, the second lesson this evening. So, without any further ado, do we should get on with the service and sing now hymn 360, Sing to the Great Jehovah's Prayer.
Amen.
since you created us, you have provided for us. When we, perverse and foolish, turned away from you, you presented us with a way of redemption in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our life and health and strength, our work and play, our love and friendship, and for family life and the hope of joining your family in heaven. Forgive us for our sins and faults. Help us to be honest with ourselves and honest in our dealings with other people. Blot out our transgressions and deliver us from the distress of a guilty conscience. Bless every one of us who now bow before you. You know our needs, worries, and fears. Supply our needs, dissipate our worries, and turn our fears into confidence in your loving kindness. And bless not only us, but your children the world over. We pray for the Queen and the Royal Family, the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, this island and our Governor and Tynwald and all our leaders, and we beseech you to help all nations to live together in peace and mutual helpfulness. In gratitude to those who in World War II died for peace, help us to live for peace. Frustrate those who are dedicated to terrorism and violence, and crush the evil drugs trade. Watch by the sick. Inspire and guide the researchers in medicine, and help all good doctors and nurses to bring healing and comfort to suffering men and women. Protect the weak and helpless, and resist the cruel and heartless. And, O Lord, in your mercy, revive your church for the healing of the nations and the salvation of mankind, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, God of heaven, hallowed
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
back to the 21st of January 1971. Coffee Methodist Chapel at 6:30 p.m. with the Iron Man Steve Hackett for service. The speaker was the Reverend Captain Westby Kissinger. Unfortunately, now he's not too well, you see. The leader, I think, was myself or Ernest McMeekin. I'm not too sure about that. That's not a record. But our soloist, strange as it may say, last this evening was Mr. Jeff Corbish and Mr. Dougie Cowley. I'm very pleased about that. The following service, the third Sunday after that, the 3rd January 1973, it will be, yes, the preacher for that service was the Reverend Eddie Coven. I was rather puzzled who would get to preach that particular Sunday. I was converting at Banks Bay in alongside Victoria Pier, and I had quite a lovely fine day. And I was leaning over the bridge, watching the festival going ashore, and I said, now, who are we going to get for next Sunday? Who was coming down the pier but the Reverend Edward? So I shouted to him. He was looking up, I don't think the word comes from the top. I said, Reverend, what about preaching at Calvary next Sunday? Or week, I just forget the week next Sunday. What is that? What about preaching? Oh, come on up. So he struggled up against the floor, passing it from the officer. And he got up in the cabin and he said, yes, certainly I will preach. And that was the third Stephen Hackett service. Captain William Ernest McMeekin, Captain Frank Curtin and I were successful in obtaining, after some persuasion, members for the choir for that particular service. I'm talking about the 21st of January 1971, which was consequently become and is today the Mariners' Service, thus its foundation, my quarter's foundation. Captain Frank Griffin, I should say the late Captain Frank Griffin, but you know who I mean, at the station Road Methodist Church previous to this, had one of our seamen's services with our own choir. And Finlow Ray, who's with us here this evening, was the principal steward of that church at that particular time, a position he held for many years, but resigned recently to ill health, but he's not too well. However, I am deeply pleased to see Finlow in this evening. The first Mariners service, different from the Steve service, was held at Laxton, thanks to Reverend Coppin, who I think at that time had just retired and was in charge of Laxton. And we had a good service there, one of the very first. Then followed Glen May, Peel, Port St. Mary, Castletown, Santon, Howe, Crosby, and Pollard, Bound Rhine, but not in that order. Ramsey and Douglas. The service is also held at Douglas and at Ramsey. Captain Lyndhurst Cowell, who is with us this evening, one of the elder members of the choir, at that time he was the secretary of the Promenade Church. It wasn't a very enviable job because it could take over from the old church to the new church in the Promenade. The service at Ramsey, Waterloo Ramsey, was most popular. The resident minister at that time was the Reverend Cool Cole. C-O-L-E, a delightful chap. I feel sure the congregation of Ramsey missed him very, very much. But unfortunately, Ramsey was a little out of our latitudes, and it came to be known as a bed and breakfast job. Now, William Ernest McMeekin again, for many, many years, most successfully arranged all the Mariners' services, including the lifeboat service at the Cathedral, St. George's Church, Douglas, and Mount David, Port St. Mary, and the Harvest Festival too at Glen May, which we always look forward to. I'm sure most of you two will remember in this church this evening the song of praise at the Cathedral, and later down in the Beale Castle grounds, a most successful service. And it was Ernest that arranged that with the BBC. Much credit indeed. I know Vera, this good lady, will remember that quite well because the house is full of cameras, I understand. And that's the Vera here tonight, and also Gladys. Now, regretfully, as the years have gone, we have indeed lost many members of the choir, and the Reverend Dennis Burton, telling you about that. more recently Bassett, Paul, Captain Griffin, and Thomas. So I won't see anyone with that at the moment. I'd rather not anyhow. Ernest said to me some time ago, after his operation, right, hip operation, he said, "You know, Harry, old boy," he said, "I'm beginning to feel a bit old. This running these services is getting me down a bit." He looked at me, I said, "Don't look at me, Ernest. There's only 9 months between us." I'm younger, I think. Anyhow, however, Mr. Alistair Hislop took over. And he, too, is doing a splendid job, a wonderful job, and assisted by Mr. Alan Chip Killer, who is retired detective superintendent of the Langton Stagnery. I can never pronounce that word. And Finlay Ray, of course. Wouldn't be complete without our Finlay. Each chapel we went to had its own peculiarities. Some were more 3 foot thick. Others were like made of rock. But some have been modernized, and there's a lot of pastoral about. That made it very difficult. But by Jove, Ernest was a good man with a hammer and a nail. And Frank, the electrician, with his port and starboard lights, you remember, but sadly the lights have now extinguished. And also the lady of man's power over the wheel. Depending on here tonight,
but it's still about.
Yes. Now in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I am sure my colleagues past and present would agree that the Mariners and Trust of the Mariners Choir will continue for many, many years to come, and bring the joy and good greetings to the chaplain and church of the attend. Help in many ways, and especially financially too. And as I say, it's great to see so many people here this evening. So my colleagues were certainly held in high esteem. I can't read your writing. Also, that the deputy of the choir should never lose his identity. So I'd say to the choir, and to Mr. Alistair right now, never lose his identity. It should all be called the Baroness Choir, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much, Captain Kidley. We will now call on Captain Kidley for the first lesson.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. The first lesson is taken from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1-15. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship there going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for those whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Here end the first lesson.
We are now to have a duet by two of the island's greatest singers, Jeff Corbish and David Cowley. After that great build-up, we hope to be. Music called My Anchor Holds. I must admit it's one that neither of us knew. If you don't like it, you can blame Alistair Hislop because it's his choice. It's called My Anchor Holds.
I am peaceful, Lord, I know. I belong.
Jeff and David, that was absolutely splendid. The next hymn we will sing is number 70 in the hymn book, The Lord's My Shepherd, I Have One, John Chief. I couldn't hear Harry Kim.
and he shouted from the bridge, "Come up." He didn't ask me, he ordered me. It was a terrible job trying to get aboard the ship with all the passengers coming off. And the staff were trying to prevent me, and I kept saying, "But the skipper wants me, the skipper wants me." And he wanted me to preach the following January at the Steam Palace Circus in Colby. Now, Colby Methodist had several special occasions. They had a police service, I think they had a sports service, a nurses service, and a steam packet service, which was run by Captain Harry Kinnick. And I must say I enjoyed that service, and I felt there was something in it. And to tell you the truth, the services that they have now, and it's an exact replica of what happened at Colby. No change, same thing. The next year I was asked to preach there, and I felt this was good. And I suggested to Ernie McMeekin and a few of them that they might come to Peel. And they did. And that's as far as they got. And the next year the same thing happened. We had a service at Peel and couldn't move them anywhere else. And then I said to Ernie McMeekin, "Look, we've got something here. Let's try to get round the ports." And he was a bit dubious at first. He didn't know the churches was an idea. Well, I said, I'll try and contact the churches and arrange for services. If you act as secretary and liaison officer, that is to get in the steam packet men at the choir, arrange for the soloists, incidentally. That first night at Colby, we had the same soloists. Thank you very much. You bring back memories. And they were dubious. You see, the steam packet at that time had a very limited service in the winter. Most of the fleet was in Barrow, waiting for the summer service. And, oh, we can only have it in the winter, and we can't have it in October, because that's the time of harvest festivals, and so on and so on. And it wasn't until the winter of 76 that we really got going, according to my diary, and I think that's correct. We met with a good deal of opposition, or at least I did, especially from ministers. They said that this was only a gimmick, putting up flags and singing Sankey's hymns and that kind of thing. Well, I think, in that case, your harvest festival then, and your Easter services are gimmicks, because there's always decorations there. Christmas and so on. I said, the mountains are telling you something. We get the crowds and you don't. Give them something that they can sing, something that they can see. And then I had to face another criticism, namely that the pulpit was occupied by people that didn't preach Methodist doctrine. And that I preached at every service, and did, until 4 years ago, every service, didn't I? I must have preached over 100 sermons for the mariners. I said, well, I'm prepared to stand trial on Methodist doctrine. But they wouldn't accept that either. But however, once we got round the island, in 1976, we covered about 7 places, and fortunately, everything went well, and so it's gone on to the present time. I must say one special word about Ernie McBeacon. He was very painstaking. He was most diligent. He couldn't be faulted in the work that he had to do. He was most reliable. Harry there and Frank Griffin were to see about the decorations. And they had to spend 2 days at first because they didn't know the churches. And they'd come and have a look at them and mess them up and say, well, we need so many flags and they should go there and that. And then come along on the side. Saturday and put them up, and then they had to take them down and so on. There was quite a lot of work. If there was a committee in the beginning, it was Henry McMeekin, Frank Griffin, Harry Kinley, and Alec Manfield, and myself. And that's it. And I must say that I enjoyed myself with these shows. There was good fellowship. It pleased me when it said that I was one of them. After the service, the local captains would invite the others back to their house. I mean, Eddie Quirk had put in, that old college at Fort St. Mary. I had, well, I never had to do it as to Peel and so on. And the stories they used to tell, nobody can tell a story better than the fishermen. Now, I remember one time when one of them was telling a story over a rough night. Alfie looked across to me and Dr. Winkett said, it's blown force 11 now. Whether they were all true or not, I don't know. But I must say that I've been very thankful, very grateful for the fellowship that I've had, the companionship I've had with these men. Incidentally, the Mariner's Choir has never taken a penny for itself. Not a thing. Every collection that's taken has gone to help the local church. And earlier on, in the 70s and crossing into the 80s, I would say that we easily average £100 a night. And you take 10 services, that's £1,000 a year into the Methodist kitty, wasn't it? Which is good. The time is coming now when they will have to make an appeal. They want new hymn sheets. The hymns they want are not in the new book. And it's going to cost them hundreds of pounds. And I think the time is coming when they just have to appeal. In a sense, not for themselves, but for the work. Nobody will gain except the congregations. Now, I don't want to single out any of the men, really, because they were good men, kind men, well respected by their own crews. Men that were pleased to call them friends. These are the names that have been given to me.
Captain Ernie McMeekin, Captain Frank Griffin, Captain Basil Corlett, Captain Eddie Quirk, Mr. W. Alexander, Mr. F. Watterson, Mr. G. Crane, Mr. A. Foster, Mr. Walter Cowley, Mr. Lockie Horsborough. And in addition, these are the names of some of the wives: Mrs. Annie Curtin, Mrs. Lydia Griffin, Mrs. Eileen Crellin. And then one of our popular soloists, Mr. Wally Kerfee.